Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Hi, Jim. Always good to be with you and our listening audience out there in the etherland. I don't know how accurate that is.
Well, if they can hear us, I don't care where they're listening to us from. Two tin cans
in the meantime,
and a string.
We have each other. Yeah.
Right, as long as they can hear us.
Yeah.
We have a listener question from Michael. Hi, Bob. I'm wondering about a 2 or 3 year U.S. Treasury as part of a fixed income portfolio. They're paying 4.75% and 4.5%. What are your feelings regarding this strategy?
Yeah, you're in the right. Shorter maturities is the place to be because the long end of treasuries can get whipsawed something awful. Now, what you also might consider, if you can get with a good bond trading desk, and if you're Canadian, you can find some good grade U.S. corporates. About a 4 year maturity, you'll get a better income out of it. And the risk is tolerable because, you know, 4 years time, they're mature at par. It's a nice place to be for a fixed income portfolio. So yeah, you're right on the treasuries. But consider adding some good grade corporates.
The Bank of Canada this week lowered its key setting rate by 0.25% to 4.75%. The European Central Bank also lowered their rate. Bob, is this the precursor to a recession?
You got it right. The street gets really excited about the prospect of the central banks cutting rates. But if you want to go through hundreds of years of business history, short rates go up with the boom, and the short rates go down with the bust. And there are times like we did a chart on the S&P against the 3 month treasury bill. And you can get the fastest drops in the S&P with the fastest drops in interest rates. So the street's getting all warmed up. They think the Fed is going to be cutting rates, and they think it's wonderful, but it's going to be hell. So, no, we've done a study on this one, and it is a problem. Rising rates are very good for the stock markets. Falling rates occur with bad times, and we'll leave that one there. So, yeah.
Well, why is it they think that lowering the rates will be good for the economy or good for the stock market?
It's purely intuitive. Absolutely intuitive, and it's widely spread. You know, it's everywhere. That people think once the Fed starts to cut, everything will be well. But if you just take a look at the chart of the S&P and interest rates, and you'll realize there's a disaster coming. So, yeah.
And, of course, rate hikes and cuts are lagging indicators. They didn't jump on inflation when it first started. They called it transitory. Well, I guess, in terms of the how long the Earth has been around, yeah, it's transitory.
Yeah. Well, no, I continue to say that the market forces set the interest rates at the short end and at the long end, and then eventually the trend moves on T-bills either rising or declining, And then the Fed moves, trying to look in charge of things. But no, the even before the Fed, when the Bank of England was the main central bank, and going way back to the 1800s, the same thing happens. The market rates of interest change, and the senior central bank follows. So, and falling rates is not good.
Well, I'm sure people who have renewable or variable rate mortgages are happier with a lower rate.
Oh,
however, yeah. If there's a recession, you won't qualify for a mortgage because you don't have a job.
Yeah, and we know the difference. A recession is when your neighbor's out of work, and a depression is when you're out of work.
Excellent definition, Bob.
Yeah, old one, yeah.
Let's take a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye today. The AI revolution is already losing steam, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, I think it's been a great buzzword. Who knows exactly how it's going to be employed, but as far as the market goes, it's probably all in, and speculators have taken advantage of whatever, and it'll be another buzz phrase that's... you know, you're going to look back on it sometime. So, yeah.
Take a look at the dot-com bust of 2000. People did was add dot-com to the end of their company's name, and people would pour millions in whether your company needed it or not, or deserved it or not.
And we got some other headlines.
Yes, key engines of U.S. consumer spending are losing steam all at once.
Yeah. That one was important, the all at once, because we've had other headlines over the last few months of something plunging, something else collapsing. So now, of course, you know, the guys who craft the headlines want to get some buzz out of it, but nonetheless, there are certain price series that are collapsing or plunging, just like that. So they're not calling it a recession yet. But it's certainly a recession in China and other parts of the world, and we're just probably rolling over. I think maybe by January in North America, they'll be realizing that it truly is a recession on. So
Yeah. Now, Bob, I know you don't like to comment on job creation numbers because so often they're fudged by the government. And you can't trade them. But in Canada, they say they created 22,000 jobs last month. But the unemployment rate has gone up to 6.2%. That's not a good trend if the jobless numbers are going up. The U.S. Claims they created 280,000 jobs roughly instead of 180,000 estimate. But again, if they're part-time and you go from being, say, a well-paid oil field worker to somebody flipping burgers, that's not really a great job creation, is it?
No. Job numbers I stay away from, so, yeah.
Yeah, because they can be so misleading?
Yeah.
Loan frenzy masks losses from defaults. Headline from Yahoo.
Yeah, well, people are companies and people are borrowing like money. Probably borrowing money to look after their losses. So that's what I took from that headline.
Right. Using your credit card to pay your mortgage because you can't afford the mortgage rate increase.
Yeah.
Paying nearly 30%. Short sellers in danger of extinction after crushing stock gains.
Oh, yeah. Any sort of spike like that. And also, throughout history, you know, May can be a strong month, and it's that gets you to the old saying, sell in May and go away. But nonetheless, when you get a spike up move like that, you've got the impulsive buyer buying straight up, and then you also have the short seller who's forced to cover like that. So, yeah, there's a wonderful essay. There was a guy by the name of John Houghton, and he started what we can call a market letter in London in 1692.
Wow.
Now, he was also very good. Like, we call them puts and calls today. He referred to them and defined them and discussed them as puts and refusals. But he also had a marvelous little essay called The Mystery of Buying More Than All. And that, of course, was a game in options where there were so many outstanding. And in the speculative fury, somebody bought more than all and then had to cover to deliver. So you had straight up spikes. And that was, as I said, the mystery of buying more than all. Well, I think we saw that with Coco here recently, straight up and then straight down. So, yeah.
Right. The headline we were going to look at next was high flying commodities set to keep climbing. I guess Coco isn't one of them.
Oh, been incredible. But this is how it was. Like a couple of years ago, everybody had to own lithium. And they drove it right up to 600,000. That was November 2022. And I looked at it recently. It's at 96,000 and been there for months. So these rages come in and end up with a short squeeze and then change and collapse. So, the one in Cocoa has just been extraordinary. So, yeah.
Orange juice was also getting a squeeze. We'll take a look at some more headlines when we return with Bob Hoy.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline from the New York Times, Americans have more investment income than ever before.
Yeah, the way I took that is taking everybody and the amount of money they have invested is unprecedented, and also the returns they're getting on that investment are unprecedented as well. So it's just another thing that the party has been very good.
Bob, the Magnificent Seven, they now tell us it's now down to the Magnificent Three. We have Microsoft and NVIDIA.
Yeah.
And then everybody else after that is just starting to fade away. Is that a sign that things are tightening up on the stock market?
Yeah, they become more selective. And NVIDIA, I think it got up to a market cap of one stock of $3 trillion.
Yes, topping Apple.
It's absolutely staggering. But we should, it's hard to get the details, but in 1929, Radio Corporation of America was the big high-tech stock. And my God, it went up to something like 130, then all the way down to $1.50. But I remember, the chart I've gone on and had a earnings estimate of $3 a share in 1929 or something like that. And then there was a wonderful irony. By the time you went through the washout and everything else, they didn't get back to $3 a share until the 1960s with the Elvis Presley contract. And yet, they were buying the stock in 1929 on $3 a share earnings expectation. But it didn't arrive until the 60s. That's the way the markets are.
Well, isn't that the case with Amazon? It's going to take you 300 years to get your investment back?
Oh, yeah. Well, these big ones like that, the dividends and returns, the story is the thing. The investment character is disregarded. So now, and that's the speculative market for you.
Headline, convertible bond mania intensifies. What does that mean, Bob?
Well, you get a bond that's convertible into stock. And I noticed a couple of weeks ago there was a headline about the hedge funds were buying them. So it's at the moment, convertibles are the fad of the day. So how long will it last? Who knows? but it's a strong fad now.
Well, there's another bond headline here from Yahoo. Bond traders pile into fresh bets on faster pace of Fed cuts. Again, they think falling interest rates are a good thing.
Yeah. Now, that's, I grabbed those headlines because, they, as I say, when the rates actually start to go down, and the T-bill rate, the 3-month T-bill rate in the U.S. is still fairly high. It's not rolled over yet, but we're watching it closely because the way it'll go is the T-bill rate will go down due to market forces, and then the Fed will eventually follow. So,
another Yahoo headline, private equity's latest move to gin up cash, borrowing against its stock holdings.
There you go. Hmm. Yeah, they're trying to raise money, borrowing it against their stock portfolio, which is leveraging up at market highs. It's highly dangerous stuff.
Hmm. Why is it so dangerous, Bob?
As of the problem. Hmm. Bull markets don't last forever. Trees don't grow to the sky.
Hmm. Well, they try to, but very few succeed.
Yeah.
And we don't let them take the 2,000 to 5,000 years to get sky high anymore, do we?
Well, those big sequoia trees in Northern California, they get so big because they don't have to pump all the water up from the roots. They can gather the water in as the mist come in into their needles. And that's why they can grow so big, because they don't have to pump the water so high. Yeah, I read that somewhere.
And, of course, the Douglas firs that you see in most of British Columbia, it's second growth forest, Stanley Park, 1,000 acres, a beautiful park in Vancouver. Those trees, that's second growth. The original ones were 20 feet across. These ones are like 5 to 10 feet across.
Well, this is the case out at UBC with the endowment lands. It's all second growth because in 1895, all of this area out here was logged.
The British Navy needed tall masts.
Oh, they got those at Central Park.
Yes, they did, in Burnaby. Mm-hmm. Central Park, named after Central Park in New York, because the mayor of Burnaby was going out with a woman from New York and he wanted to impress her. So he named Burnaby's biggest park Central Park.
Oh, I never knew that story. That's a good one. Yeah.
So, well, so many places in British Columbia are named after American places like Boston Bar.
Yeah.
Bob, always a thrill and a fun day when we get to chat.
Jim, I always enjoy it, and it makes my Friday, and here we've got a wrap on another one.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at House Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.